Up next, we're going to live to New Zealand with Max Cryer as we talk about his latest work on superstitions. His book is called Superstitions and Why We Have Them. And then in our second hour with Max, we'll take your phone calls, questions, and maybe your own stories on why you're superstitious. And welcome back to Coast. Max Cryer is a well-known writer, broadcaster. In a long career, he's been a school teacher, a television host as well. Now a full-time writer living in New Zealand, he has written many books, including Every Dog Has Its Day, Who Said That First, Love Me Tender, The God's Own Dictionary, Preposterous Proverbs, and Superstitions and Why We Have Them. Max, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Looking forward to this. In the wide, varied background, how did you get interested in the superstition angle?
I think because my basic profession really is writer, and etymology is my main interest. And I became interested in the fact that everybody wants to have something that is not easy to get, and everybody wants something that comes from above, from some power up in the sky, which is what superstitions are, because super means above. It's a Greek word for over. And I gradually started to work out what countries and what people had things they believed in, and I wanted to record them, but without being offensive, if you know what I mean, because I don't think it's fair to discuss a superstition and laugh at it.
And how did... Go ahead.
We all have these weird things we do, and some people, when I discuss the subject that I was writing about, they say, oh, but I don't believe in superstitions. I'd say, well, why are you wearing a wedding ring? And that sort of brought that conversation to a halt, because a wedding ring is pure superstition, but it's so many thousands of years old that it's become just, so, shall we say, a custom.
How did you end up in New Zealand? Were you born out that way?
Yes, I was born out that way. How did I end up in New Zealand? What do you mean? Do you think people avoid me?
You're way out there compared to where we are here in the States.
Well, I'm very, very familiar with the fact that most Americans don't know where it is.
It's a suburb of Australia, isn't it?
That is, I've heard that joke before, yes. I'll tell you a story. I heard that so often when I was guesting on talk shows in television in America that sometimes they mention, you know, that New Zealand is so close on the map that we get them confused. And I was on a talk show in Los Angeles, and I got tired of this, and I said, well, I'm really comfortable here in Mexico. And there was a deathly silence. And I said, but it's so close on the map. It turned out that really they weren't too pleased.
I love it. You used to do some work in Vegas, too, didn't you?
Oh, I've performed there as an entertainer. I didn't do some work. I did a couple of performances years ago when I was a full-time entertainer for some time.
God, did you ever run into Sinatra when you were in Vegas?
No, I didn't. Vegas is a very busy, very crowded place. Oh, you don't automatically run into major stars.
Now, the study of superstitions would be called what?
Well, there is no word, as far as I know. I mean, I describe myself as an etymologist. Etymology is a Greek word, which means the study of speaking, the facts and the origins and developments of a word. So it's quite easy to transfer the study of words over into the study of superstitions. And for instance, no doubt when you're having elections in America, people stand for office or run for office.
That's right.
And they're called candidates. Now, candidate is an ancient Latin word, candidus, and it means bright, shining, white. In ancient Rome, people who stood for political office would wear specially whitened togas while they were campaigning to draw attention and, wait for this, to demonstrate their honesty and lack of anything unpleasant in their nature. Now, they came to be called candidati, whitened men. And that word survives to this very day as candidates, presumably sending out the same message that we are honest and of good faith because we are candid men. And that's not superstition, but it's sort of an example of how meaning can travel over several thousand years.
How far back, though, do superstitions go, Max?
As far as there is any, it goes further back, way back further than history. For instance, when I mentioned wedding rings, I'm referring to the origin of the belief thousands of years ago that the third finger of the left hand has a vein which leads directly to the heart. So if you put a ring, which is the symbol of eternity, on that finger, it is nourishing a vein to the heart and will secure love and marriage. Well, of course, as time went on and physicians got more clever, it was proven that there is no vein in the third finger that leads to the heart, but you'll still find people putting that wedding ring on.
Well, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
That dates back to prehistory, and even older than that. I mean, you're into the realm of fantasy, because the 13 being an unlucky number, it dates to the ancient Scandinavian gods who held a big meeting of 12 gods, and the 13th one came in and killed the leader. And from that moment on, which is several thousand years of belief, the 13 has been considered an unlucky number. Does that make sense?
Yes, and you know, we've got a Friday the 13th coming up in just a couple days, and a lot of times people freak out about that.
Well, yes, but if you ask them why would they?
They
you
don't see, know.
The Scandinavian origin is thousands of years old. It was assisted a couple of thousand years ago by Jesus at the Seder meal before he was crucified, and there were 13 people at that. But that's not the origin of the fear. The fear came hundreds of years before that, but the biblical story has enhanced the fear, if you know what I mean. And I think that's what a lot of people in America are probably thinking, that it's Jesus' Last Supper that they're being nervous of. But in fact, the fear goes much, much, many hundreds of years before that.
Max, in your book, Superstitions, how many different superstitions did you look at?
Oh, don't ask me. I mean, there could be four or five to a page. There could be
that many.
Yes.
Let me throw out a few to you, and if they cross your mind, tell me what you think about them and how they might have started. One here, of course, we talk about is don't walk under a ladder. What's wrong with doing that?
Well, that's an interesting one, actually, because that's a combination of superstition and religion. The religion of Christianity is quite recent compared to some superstitions, but it's been very powerful. And one of the powerful incidents in the creation of Christianity was the image of the Trinity, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. And that's a very powerful image. Now, when you see a ladder reaching against the wall, it's a triangle. And there are people who take the religion of Christianity so dearly, they don't want to walk through that triangle because that would be disrespectful to the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. So they walk around it. And that's the only explanation which has ever come up about that. But I have good news for them. If you accidentally walk through a ladder against the wall and you come out the other side and think, oh, my God, you know, I've done something evil, don't worry, because the spell will be broken as soon as you see a dog.
Really?
No, you mustn't say really. I'll say, yes, really, that is the superstition, but I'm not for a moment saying it really will happen. There is another theory about that. People say that a ladder leading against a wall tends to make people think of a hangman, you know, the hanging guy. That, of course, is not very valid, because there hasn't been public hangings for many years, and ladders against the wall in cities indicate building rather than killing.
Here's another one. Black cats run across your path. People freak about that. How come?
Well, I love that one, because it varies from country to country. You know that some countries think the black cat is unlucky. Other people think the black cat is lucky. And I always quote, Groucho Marx had the final word to say on that, because when he said, if a black cat is crossing your path, this indicates that the cat is going somewhere. That's it, you know. Well, what I mean, I have to agree with him.
Only Groucho could do that.
Well, some people who believe in the evil black cat say when it crosses behind you. And my sentence is, how do you know if something crosses behind you? But the word super is it's from the Latin meaning above. And superstitions, you see, and religion nearly all rely on some power from up above, you know, that you can't see. And superstition mustn't be confused with religion, because that would be offensive. But they do all tend to come from up on high. And all of the words with super in the front of them mean big and high, including the word invented by George Bernard Shaw in Britain, who invented the word Superman. And when he became illustrated many, many years later, he was, of course, flying in the air. He was up in the air.
Now, here's another one that I don't get, Max. A rabbit's foot will bring you good luck. It didn't to the rabbit.
No, it didn't. But the theory of that is, well, rabbits are rather pleasant. And the rabbit is notable for being healthy and energetic. And if you have the left hind foot is the ideal one to have. I think if you're presented with a rabbit foot, the person mightn't even know which foot it was. But if it's the left hind foot, that is the one that actually impels the rabbit along so fast. His back feet have got the strength.
That's got the strength.
And the rabbit sort of can escape danger by being fast with those feet. And the rabbit also is good at hiding. It's good at evading danger. And it has a rather pleasant life. So if you have the leg of a rabbit, check that it's the back left leg. Don't despair if it's not, because the superstition will still remain with you that a rabbit's foot is good luck for you.
Now, they say also that bad luck comes in threes. How did that happen?
Well, again, you're up against the religion thing. There's no answer to that. It's just one of those mysterious things that has happened.
What a superstition nonetheless, right?
Well, you could mention many, many things that happen in twos, such as lightning and thunder. There's not many natural things that happen in three, and I can't give an answer to that because I simply don't know what the answer
is. They talk about death happens in threes and things like that.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yes, I have heard that said. Yes, you're absolutely right. I'd forgotten that for the moment, but I still can't. I can't give an answer because I don't think there is an answer. It's just one of those weird things that people, you know, their grandmother told them or something, and they've kept it for years and years.
One that bothered me since I was a kid, Max, be careful with breaking a mirror. You'll have bad luck.
That is thousands of years old. Mirrors have not been in existence for many centuries. Long before there were mirrors, there were reflection pools that you could look down and see yourself. Mm-hmm. And there was a method of polishing certain substances so that you could see yourself in it. But there was great apprehension in those very early centuries about your image. And if your image appeared in a mirror or on a pole, that was taking part of you. So if somebody dropped a stone into the pool and your image was disturbed, then that would disturb your body. And worse still, if a mirror which contained your image was broken, then you're going to head towards misfortune in a big way because your image is inside that mirror somewhere and part of you will go with it when it breaks. That one still survives. I'm pleased you mentioned that because I sometimes wonder whether we've forgotten about mirrors breaking, but no, it's still mentioned, isn't it?
Sure is. It sure is. Now, this one could have biblical implications. People freak out when they see 666 together. Is that probably because of the book of Revelation and things like that?
It is, yes. It's connected in a complicated way. That is really too complicated to explain. The people who hold that view can give you an explanation, and the person around the corner of the next street will give you a different explanation. So I think we just have to accept that that's one of the ones that people don't like. It's a sign of evil, but it's not clear why. And that, of course, is the answer to many superstitions, that it isn't clear why. My work has been to find out where there is a story, but if it's something that nobody has ever given an answer to, and they haven't to that, then we just have to glide over it and say, well, good luck to them. But I have a lovely American rhyme to tell you that I found.
All right, sure.
Beware of that man, be he friend or brother, whose hair is one color and mustache is another.
I love that. That is good.
Well, it's a lot of superstitions are to do with things you can't help, you know, such as, well, the color of hair. People always say red hair means red temper. But there's a lot of superstitions about a mole, you know, the mole that grows on some people's skin.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it. You can have it removed. But in the days before, a surgeon could remove a mole
right.
so easily.
Freeze them off.
People believed firmly that if you had a mole on your chin, riches would come. If it was on the front of your neck, you'd have a good life, but a mole on the back of your neck meant a bad life. A nose mole meant you'd be traveling a lot. And a wrist mole meant an agile mind. On your forehead, if you had a mole on the right side, you'd get riches and honors. But if the mole was in the middle of your forehead, you have a cruel disposition.
Interesting.
Now, I don't think anybody listening can give us any evidence of that, but that is a superstition which has been carried through the years.
And, of course, with our Thanksgiving coming up in November, a lot of people like to get the wishbone, we call it, from the turkey to make a wish where two people hold on to it and snap it, and the one that gets the bulk of the wishbone, the bone from the turkey, the wish is supposed to come true. How'd that start? That's an old one. It's got to be.
That's ancient. That is ancient. I don't think there's an explanation for that. It's just a matter of, it's a sort of family joke. You know, the person who pulls the quickest and breaks the bone is considered to be of superior character to the other.
Yeah.
Why does it? You mentioned turkey. Why does it have to be a turkey?
Because it's got the bigger bone, I guess. Much bigger than like it. See, we don't eat a lot of bird in this country other than turkey and chicken. Some people will eat some duck a little bit, but not a lot. I would guess in European countries and maybe in New Zealand and Australia, you eat more different kinds of birds, maybe. But here it's the turkey bone that they use to wish a lot.
Well, yes, we have some bird. We have a bird superstition that I think doesn't apply to your country because you don't have the same bird we have, which is called a fan bird.
No,
a fan tail, a tiny little pipiwawa. It's called in Maori.
Do you eat it?
No, it's too small. But if it flies in the window into your house, somebody's going to die.
My mother had a superstition about that, about any kind of bird. As a matter of fact, she would freak out, Max, if a bird hit the window, couldn't get in, but hit the window and fell. She went nuts about stuff like that.
Yes, I have heard that that is the case. I don't know the answer. It's supposed to be that the bird in question carries the spirit of somebody else who's trying to break into your life. But that's only
interesting.
A supposition. But I'm interested that you have, therefore, your mother. Did you say your mother or your grandmother?
That was my mother. My mother, she's still
your
with
mother,
us. She's 89
well,
years old.
Your mother would have fitted into New Zealand perfectly because exactly the same fear rules here, that if a bird flies near you in the window and certainly into the house, that you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Any proof I can't give you, I'm afraid.
Next one, of course, is why do people cross their fingers for luck?
Well, the word cross is laden with imagery ever since Christianity began. The word cross has various sort of vibes about it. And it was crossing your fingers, which, of course, doesn't come anywhere near looking like a cross of Christianity, but it was used as a signal in the societies where Christianity was being outlawed and was completely illegal, in fact. If a person met somebody else and they crossed their finger, that would indicate that they believed in Christianity, and the other person would reply with their crossed finger. That's the only explanation which has ever come forward for that one. And, of course, if you do it alone, like you cross your fingers so that you can pass an exam, well, you've just transferred the sort of secrecy to yourself.
There's another one, knock on wood.
Well, that's quite easy to explain. Thousands of years ago, that's a British superstition, because thousands of years ago, people believed that trees, living trees, had living spirits in them. And so you could speak to a tree, and you could knock on the tree and make a wish and say, I hope I get the job I've applied for, or I hope my girlfriend will say yes when I propose to her. And as years went by, the knocking moved away because, of course, cities got bigger and trees got fewer, and people then knocked on any wood they could find. But I have been told that in some city situations, it's actually difficult, say, in an office, to find a piece of wood.
Everything's plastic or laminate or something like that. Stay with us, Max. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We'll take calls next hour with Max Cryer as we talk about his latest work, Superstitions, and why we have them. Max, let's go back to a few more superstitions. One, of course,
is... I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
While we were off air, I remembered we talked about rabbits for a minute, but
yeah.
There is a superstition which I don't understand because it's not done in my country. I hear that Americans, some Americans, like to say white rabbits at the beginning of the month. Does that sound right to you?
I've not heard that. So it's if it is, it's not very well known.
Ah, oh, well, it could be.
Could be an old.
Sometimes there are very obscure superstitions.
Now, how about the one about don't open up an umbrella in the house? Where did that come from?
That is weird. Its origin belongs in the Orient, many, 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 many centuries ago. It's ancient. And remember that umbrellas were invented not for rain, but for sunlight. Umbrellas were in use for many centuries before somebody thought of putting them up in the rain. And somewhere in the Orient, there was a theory that if you put an umbrella up inside, you were offending the gods because they couldn't see down anymore.
Huh. That is an interesting take there. And of course,
you'll still find people, perhaps your grandmother, someone of another generation, who will say, don't put an umbrella up inside the house.
Yeah, they freak out when people do that.
Have you heard of people doing that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really? Still?
You know, then they're uptight about doing it. I won't do it. I don't know why I won't. But I'll never open an umbrella up in a house. There's just a weird feeling about it.
When you're doing the right thing, because just on the rare chance that there is something.
I'm hedging my bets.
you've done the right thing because you've avoided the possible disaster.
Now, you mentioned a little bit about the number 13. Friday the 13th is a very superstitious date, or that number. People don't like to sit at it in a row. I can't recall if buildings have a 13th floor or not. I don't remember.
Well, that was something that had crossed my mind when I was writing my book, and that are there any examples, I wondered, where businesses actually acknowledge superstition? And I found the answer is a very, very big yes, they do, because you hear a word like supermarket, which was invented in America to indicate a shop which was above others. It was in a greater style and bigger. And you will find hotels, restaurants, and some airlines avoid anything to do with the number 13. They'll modify the row to be called 12A, or a hotel will have row 12 and then floor number 12 and then floor 14, but no 13. Restaurants often don't have a table 13. So, yes, it does move over. It's good sense, of course, because if they did have a table 13 and people came in who were suspicious about it and wouldn't sit there, then they'd lose the custom. So the wise thing is to do what they've done, change the airline seating so there's no seat 13, change the hotel room so there's 12 and then 12A and then 14. It's quite common.
Interesting take. Do you think superstitions are on the rise or are they going down?
Neither. I would suspect.
About the same.
Well, no, perhaps no. I've reconsidered that for 5 seconds, and I think they're lower than they used to be, but not going down, because you have just said that you wouldn't use an umbrella, put the umbrella up indoors. And I'm sure people listening will give examples of sitting in seat 12A in a plane or 12A at a restaurant. So there may be a narrowing of it, but it will still survive because it has the word super, and super means power from above, and it's quite easy to believe in it all. There's doubt, of course. You tended to sort of give a bit of laughter about the rabbit's foot, but think of it. The rabbit is a fast, very impressive, and very lovable animal, so that transfers to carrying around the dead foot. Not easy if you live in the city, but I think the answer to your question is that it may be subsiding a little more than it was 100 years ago, but it's certainly not, the love of superstitions is certainly not fading out. People still go on a honeymoon, and a honeymoon is drinking honey mead for 30 days after the wedding to help fertility. And I don't know about weddings in America, but if a person being married carries a bunch of flowers and wears a veil, then she's following two ancient superstitions, which are followed very, very much elsewhere. And I don't see those dying out.
How about throwing salt over your shoulder?
Oh, that's easy to explain, because you may realize this, but I'm happy to tell you, the devil lives over your left shoulder.
Oh, really?
That's where he comes. If the devil or any of his evil staff are approaching you
they come
with
over
something
there.
On their mind, they will go to the left-hand side of you, not the right. So throwing salt over your left shoulder binds them, and they can't do whatever they were going to do.
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm afraid that knowing these things occupied several months of my life to try and find out why people do these things and why they wore a wedding ring and why the bride walks down the aisle on her new husband's left arm. Is that a custom in America that the bride leaves on the left-hand side of the groom?
Why?
Oh, because he needs his right hand free for his sword. It dates back to the Bible.
Ah, the protector.
Yeah? Yeah, it dates back to tribal times when the bride, if she were attractive, could be the subject of some rival, and a raid would be organized, and she'd be whisked off and carried away. That's why she wears a veil, so that when she comes into the wedding ceremony, it's not quite clear to anyone outside who it is. They don't rush into the church and seize a woman with a veil on because she's disguised. And when the ceremony is over and she now has a husband to protect her, he protects her by having his right arm free for his sword. None of this is necessary in these modern times, but I think you'll find that it's often performed exactly as it has been for hundreds of years.
Do you find, Max, that superstitions are talked about a lot within a family? I mean, I don't remember raising my three children. I don't remember bringing up superstitions to them.
Well, I can only say that you use the expression a lot. Are they talked about a lot? And I would say no, they're not talked about a lot. But they are exampled. You knew your mother didn't like a bird hitting the window.
Right.
That information has stayed with you to adulthood. It's not necessary to sit around talking about superstitions. They only crop up when something happens. I am told, somebody will verify this, that there are parts of America where the women were told by their mothers and grandmothers that it was very unlucky to chop food once it went into the cooking pot.
Huh.
Now, I don't imagine that people would actually tell anybody that at a social function, but it was believed, very widely believed, for a long time. And the bride who wears the veil and carries the flowers being herbs, you see, to ward off the evil spirits, probably nobody's ever explained to her why it's done, but she does it because it's attractive and everybody else does it. So my answer, my long, complicated answer to your question is that no, I don't think people discuss superstitions a lot or tell it. They probably tell their children, though. In a family, if somebody wants to say white rabbits on the first of the month, it'll soon be the whole family saying it.
Absolutely. Indeed. Now, what about people who just don't practice superstitions? They don't care about the number 13. They'll sit in a row 13 if they have to. They don't care about Friday the 13th. They just go on. They'll walk under a ladder. If a black cat runs in front of them, they go, you know, hey, here, kitty, kitty. And
if they think of Groucho Marx, yeah, exactly. Just going somewhere.
So if somebody just doesn't let it affect them, will it?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There would be people who say it doesn't upset them, and they don't, but they're unaware of the superstitions that they're following. I would guarantee that those people you've just mentioned go to a function, you know, sort of an election function or maybe a wedding function, or somebody gets elected to an important, and a speech will be made, and the chairman will say, let us now raise our glasses and drink a toast to so-and-so. And everybody will turn and clink their glass against the next person, even the friend of yours who has no interest in superstitions, has nothing to do with them. He will very often clink his drinking glass against someone else's before he drinks a toast. Now, that's one of the oldest superstitions in the world.
And I say I'm not superstitious, yet I'm telling you tonight, I won't open an umbrella up in the house. I'll knock on wood. I cross my fingers for good luck and all these other things. So I must be superstitious.
Well, no, even if you are, I mean, nobody's saying there's anything wrong about it. I mean, you can cross your fingers and open your umbrella as much as you like, but you're not harming anybody. You feel happy doing it, but you didn't ask me about clinking, and I was hoping you would, about the glasses clinking.
You mean how that happened?
Yes. Why is it? It's because thousands of years ago, people on Earth believed that the evil spirits were frightened by noises by bells.
Ah, the clinking scares them away.
You clink your glass and the spirits are banned from the room. And Christian religion took it up in a big way because the bells in the church are sending the evil away from that building. So even the people who say, I don't believe in superstitions, they can be quite right. They don't believe in them. But I think they'll find that there's a few left around them that they're not even aware of.
That is amazing the way they are. We're going to take calls next hour with Max Cryer as we talk about superstitions. Where do we get your book, Superstitions, Max? Is it available on Amazon?
I believe it's being released in America. I'm a bit worried about phone calls because there are hundreds and hundreds of superstitions. I've dealt with about 500 of them in my book, but there could be some I've never heard of.
Absolutely. What is one of your favorite superstitions?
Do you know, I'm going to tell you the truth because you're in a foreign country and nobody here in New Zealand can hear me. I wouldn't say this on a New Zealand radio station. Do you know about knives?
Knives? You mean superstitions about knives? No.
Yes.
Tell me.
Well, there's one that says, don't ever stir with a knife.
Don't stir something with a knife.
And I would guarantee that some people listening will say, be saying, oh, yes, we've heard about that. Well, for some reason, I simply cannot explain, like you and the umbrella, I will not stir anything with a knife.
You just can't do it, can you?
No, I can't explain it. I've never been asked that before. And like I say, I'm speaking to America. I'm not speaking to New Zealand. So I'm telling you a secret. I don't like the idea of stirring anything with a knife. I don't even know what the superstition is about it. But it offends me.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yes, totally weird. It's such a weird subject that it's very difficult answering questions on it because there's often no answer.
Are there any superstitions that scare the living daylights out of you?
Well, to be honest, no, because I have studied the subject so closely that I know that they are superstitions. Like if someone said, I'm going to throw a ball on your house, I'd have the living daylights scared out of me. But if someone said, I'm going to take away your rabbit's foot, I don't think I'd be scared. No, I don't have a rabbit's foot. But no, the short answer is no. There's nothing that scares me about it.
I mean, all the ones we've gone through already, they all seem relatively harmless.
Well, yes. I'm glad you said that because I'm not in the business of frightening people and making them miserable. And if there are people listening who do some of these things, well, then go ahead and do it. I mean, it's no problem. If you wore... carried a bouquet at your wedding, and if you clink glasses when you're electing a minister, fine, there's no problem. There's no harm in it at all. And so it is intriguing to know why you do these things, but once I've explained why, that's the end of the mission. That's the end of the subject. You go right ahead and do them again. You can put that umbrella up tomorrow.
Now, here's the other question, though. With the superstition, why or what could happen if you violated the superstition? So case in point, you open up the umbrella in the house. What will happen to you? What's supposed to happen to you?
No one knows. It's like if you break the mirror.
I think in the original years ago, when somebody opened up an umbrella in a house, their roof collapsed on them. And that's how they started that kind of discussion about superstitions for an umbrella. Does that make sense?
That's imagination. It's a good story. I can't verify it or I can't deny it. I don't know. But I think the explanation I gave was that the umbrella was blocking the gods up above from seeing you in your house and what you were doing. So it was actually causing offense.
Okay. Now, here's the other one. You go under a ladder. I guess what could happen? A paint bucket could fall on you?
Yes.
Was that?
Yes, I suppose, yes. But in your mind, if you think you're being offensive to Christianity, then you must avoid doing that. And if you march through the ladder, knowing that you're offending Christianity, then you'll feel very miserable or very scornful or in some way affected. But I think the ladder, the drop of a pot of paint dropping is probably a better suggestion. There's no real answer to what you're saying. Superstitions affect different people different ways. Almost everybody has something in their habit which is not actually real, but there's never been known. There's a very quaint one that arose out of worship of the Virgin Mary. You know, when there is lightning and there's a short gap followed by thunder, that there is a belief that the Virgin Mary invented that gap, and that she put the gap there after the lightning to give people time to hide before the thunder came, to protect themselves. Now, I'd be very surprised if any scientist could give any veracity to that, but it doesn't hurt anybody who believes in it.
Interesting. There's also another scientific saying that once you see lightning and then you count the seconds until you hear the thunder, that will tell you how far the storm away is from you.
I've heard of that. I don't know. Can you tell me? Is there any truth?
I think there might be some scientific truth to that.
Yes, I don't think that's a superstition, because we all know that if there is lightning, there will be thunder. So, you know, it's not a matter of losing your rabbit's foot and losing your good luck. I mean, it's true that one follows the other.
Max Cryer with us, his book, Superstitions and Why We Have Them. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with Max. Questions about superstitions, also share one that you might have that we haven't heard about, or why you may have a superstition or so. What do you think, Max, in terms of polling people, of every 10 people, how many do you think have superstitions?
9.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I've never given that a moment's thought in my life until you asked that question, but my instant reaction is 9. And now, to be fair, many of them don't know they're holding suit. If they're wearing a wedding ring, it's a superstition. Many of those 9 people don't realize when they clink glasses and wear a wedding ring, etc. But those that are built into our civilization and are considered normal would affect possibly 10 out of 10.
That could be. Max, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Final hour to go, just ahead on Coast to Coast AM.